Ladies and gentlemen, certainly the last, but certainly not the least. Give him a warm welcome, the best ever, John Durand.
How you doing, gang? All right, well, I had to take video of that. That's the biggest screen I've ever seen for a presentation like this. I really appreciate everybody hanging around for the balance of the show. We do save the best for last. I promise to not put you to sleep. I've got tons of stuff to show you. I hope I can keep it all straight in my head because I've got a lot of demos lined up, especially this time of day. Having more to show and keep it interactive is the way to go. As I go through the presentation today, please ask me questions during the presentation. Because I typically don't like to just leave a bunch of time at the end. I'll answer them as I go. If it turns out that the question's going to take a little longer to respond, I'll just have you come talk to me afterwards, and we'll do that. If I don't know the answer, I'll just give you my business card, and you can email me, and I'll give you the answer. Just to give you an idea of what I do, because it'll matter to you only in terms, or mainly in terms, of what questions you can ask me. And so I work at Microsoft, obviously. I'm a senior product manager. I drive our office technical marketing, but I come from the engineering side. So I worked on Visual Studio for 3 releases. If any of you use the Outlook template in Visual Studio, has anybody used the Outlook template for creating Outlook solutions? Good, see some hands. I worked on the SharePoint tools. Has anybody used the new SharePoint tools in Visual Studio 2010? Yeah, so I worked on those and some other things too. And I've been doing office development, which is what I'm going to be showing you today. I've been doing that for about 12 years, about half of that time outside of Microsoft and the last 7 years at Microsoft. So that gives you an idea of what kind of questions you can pose to me. You can go as technical as you want. Chances are I've tried it, but not always. Okay, so let's look quickly at our agenda. And I've got about 4 or 5 slides, and that's about it. So what we're going to do today is we're going to learn basically how to tie together the full feature stack. So I'm not going to be showing you just one application. I'm going to show you how do you take advantage of the full stack of Microsoft Office with SharePoint and so on. And really, this ultimately has to add up the value to our to customers, to real users. We can go all intellectual about Office development and working with OpenXML, which is a lot of what I'm going to show you today, a lot of OpenXML. That's great, but the thing of it is, that's only great if it actually means something to somebody who uses the application. And so we want to make sure they translate into real user value. And so I'm going to show you the investments we made in this release of Office development. I'm going to just introduce you to the investments, and then I'm going to show them to you. So here are the investments we made. This is a big release for us in terms of what we've done in Office. I know this is a wordy slide, but I put it in there so that we could just do it all in one slide, and you can take this slide and use it later on. So these are the main investments that we've made. There are around 3 key areas. We've extended the platform, integrated more deeply with SharePoint, and you're going to see that there's plenty of that going on. We're connecting to cloud services. I've got a cloud demo that I'm going to show you. We're going to connect Excel up to SQL Azure and pull down data from SQL Azure right inside of Excel, which is actually a pretty fun demo to do. You'll be surprised when you see how simple it is. You kind of go, wow, I thought there was some mystical dust we had to sprinkle, light candles and the full moon or something to make this all work, but you don't have to. And so I'll show you that. And also providing an experience that's consistent across PC, phone, and browser. We say that from a marketing perspective, but it's got to be real for developers, and it is, and you're going to see that. I'm going to show you things that we can do in the client, but they also work in the browser, and we could duplicate the same experience or similar experience on the phone. And then we have developer tools for all skill levels. We always have had, for a very long time, we've had the VBA. We are continuing our commitment to VBA. We've sort of gone silent on encouraging people to develop with VBA for like 7 or 8 years. We're correcting that. We are still strongly messaging people, yes, use VBA. We know what some of the challenges are with that, particularly around application compatibility, And that's why we've introduced up here application compatibility program. So, and then we've made some improvements in Visual Studio, and we've also made some improvements in Access. So give me a chance and I might convince you to come back to Access if you haven't done Access development in a while. You'll see why. So let's look at these really quickly. So better application design. We have the Fluent UI. So the ribbon in Office that we introduced in 2007, we've expanded some of the polish and refinements in this release. And so we've made it just a better experience. I'll mention just a couple of things. One of those is a high density layout. It used to be if you added your own custom ribbons, you know, groups and tabs and so on to the ribbon, when you would shrink the Office application as a user, all the built-in ribbon things that just come with Office, they all shrink down very nicely and they collapse down in a very orderly way. But your custom ones that you would add would not collapse down. And so like that's something that we fixed. So these are incremental improvements, but we did those. One of the big improvements though is we added the backstage view. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. The backstage view, I'll explain more about what that is when I show it to you, because a picture is worth 1,001 words. And we also have this application compatibility program. This is a pretty big investment for us in this release. We have a website. If you go to technet.microsoft.com/office, on that website, we have now a location that aggregates all the information and tools around application compatibility. For example, one of the challenges customers have is they don't know what Office customizations are running on a given desktop. We now have an Office environment assessment tool. You point it at a desktop and it'll actually catalog every customization that's on that desktop. And it'll put it out to a log file for you. And so now you know what code is running. Even if the add-in or plug-in for Office is not something that's visible to the user, doesn't matter, it'll still find those. And catalog those. The second big piece that we invested in is the code compatibility inspector. If you have VBA code, and there are bajillion documents out there that have VBA code in them, we have the code compatibility inspector. You point it at either Visual Studio code or VBA code, and it will actually go through all of the code and find out what changes you need to make. It won't tell you what change to make, but it'll tell you what code you need to pay attention to as you move to Office 2010. So when you move to Office 2010, there might be some APIs that have changed, some things that have been deprecated. How will you know that? Do you just run your application and wait for an error? No. You use the code compatibility inspector. It sorts through all of your code and then puts it out to a log file for you so you'll know. In this customization on line 73, I need to make a change to that line of code. And that really improves the experience. So application compatibility, big deal. Simplified InfoPath design. Basically, we've improved a lot of things in InfoPath, but one of the really big features is that now you can create InfoPath forms for SharePoint lists. This is something that you couldn't do before. Now, if you have just a simple list and, you know, somebody clicks add and they see the form that pops up for adding a new item to the list, it can be an InfoPath form. Very nice. Access. One of the big improvements we've made in Access in this release is you can create your tracking application, push a button, and it'll publish everything to SharePoint. So this is the idea here was to solve two big problems that Access faced, especially in large environments. One of those is the IT management complaint that we often heard is people would create all these little databases and scatter them throughout their organization, but the IT team doesn't know where they are, they don't know how to back them up, they don't know where they live, what if one gets deleted, our whole world comes to an end, a black hole opens up in the universe, and then our business swirls into it, it's gone to the other side. So, to solve that, you push a button and it will publish your solution up to SharePoint. Your tables become lists, your queries become lookup tables, your forms become ASPX pages in SharePoint. What's great about this is now, how do you back up your Access database? Anybody guess? Go ahead and shout it out. Not in this case, because it's been published up to SharePoint. So Xcopy's not needed. Any guesses? Just back up your SharePoint server. That's it. It's now on SharePoint, which means all you have to do is just back up your SharePoint server. Hopefully you're backing up your SharePoint server anyway, please. Okay, so that's it. So that solves one problem. Published up to SharePoint, you could actually publish to SharePoint and delete the Access database. And it doesn't matter, because once it's published to SharePoint, it's SharePoint. So you don't even have to keep the excess data. Now, you do want to keep it because you can make changes to things and continue to develop your solution. The second thing that this solves is one of the big challenges with access is that how do you give more than 10 people the use of that access system? Before, you had to put it on a network share, point people to the network share, and then they had contention issues and all kinds of things, you know, that were very problematic. Now, how do you give 1,000 people the ability to use this access system? Any guesses? Yeah, you give them a web browser and you point them to the SharePoint server. That's it. So now you can have 500 people, 1,000 people, however many people, it's built to scale. And so it's just SharePoint. So this is great. We also made an improvement in access in that we lowered the bar in terms of how much code you need to write. You need to write zero code now. We have designers and things in there that make it easier. So access, pretty big step. What's nice about it is that now departments and small groups can work on their own applications without burdening the IT department to create everything for them. Why pay your ASP.NET developers and so on to create all these tiny little systems when somebody with a very low skill level could create those themselves and publish them to SharePoint? So that's a big thing. I mentioned our continued commitment to VBA, the OpenXML SDK. So one of the big improvements that we've made is around dealing with data. And this is actually one of the biggest areas I'm going to be showing you today. Almost all my demos center around these last two buckets. Customers want to get data into documents, get data out of documents. They want to convert documents. So I have a million documents that are .doc, and I want to convert those million documents to .docx, the new OpenXML file format. How would you do that? And so we've made a number of investments. First of all, we have version 2.0 of the OpenXML SDK. I'm going to be showing you that a ton of OpenXML demos today. We also have Word Services. It's basically file save as running on the server. It's part of a SharePoint install. So now, if you have those million documents that you need to convert from .doc to .docx, it's no big deal. It's simply a very light API on SharePoint. You reference it, and you can point it at a directory and loop through every one of the million documents. It's built to scale. It'll convert. It's for document generation and document conversion. And we've built it very scalable. Our tests show, you know, that it'll produce up to 172,000 documents per hour. So it's a pretty big improvement. We have Excel services that allow you to do calculation and rendering on the server. We've improved things there with the new JavaScript object model and some other things. We've improved InfoPath services, and we documented. OpenXML has already been documented, but we've also documented, for example, PSTs. And so on. And then lastly, we've continued to deepen the integration with SharePoint. We have the continued integration with Workflow, but we've also added project services, Visio services. We obviously have the Excel services, Word services. We're going big on services. So these are the main investments. You can tell that this is a pretty meaty list. This isn't just, hey, we added a couple new APIs in Excel. No, we made big bets. Okay. This is just a quick summary of expanding on the server. And one of the things that we've added as well is co-authoring. So now I can give a bunch of people access to the same document, and they don't get that really nasty message. So I love that one. Do you guys remember this? So you open up a document. This gentleman here, he opens up a document. He's editing away. Now I need to edit the same document. In fact, it's an emergency because, you know, my CIO is asking me to produce this. So I go to the document. And I get this error message that says, no, he has this file locked. You can't access this document. And I go, oh, right? Now, things get worse because he left it open, closed his machine, and he's on a vacation in Aruba. Okay? Now, I'm stuck. I can't edit his document until he comes back, or if I can get an administrator to override things. It gets complicated, right? That's not the case anymore. Now, we could author the same document at the same moment in time. And it will report to me who's editing which paragraph, down to the paragraph level. And so, and there are other feature enhancements around that. And then I listed here the services that I talked about. Okay, so that's it. That's our total slides. Now let's get into the demos and see how they look. All right, so this first demo that I'm gonna show you, I'm just going to clean things up a little bit. So the first demo that I'm going to show you is going to incorporate quite a range of technologies. And let me give you the scenario. I'm going to give you kind of the user scenario, and then I'm going to just dive into how it works, and then explain to you how I built it. So here's the scenario. I have a quarterly report that I need to produce. In this situation, this person needs to, it's a very structured process of producing this report. It could be maybe a monthly report, a quarterly report, it doesn't matter. But it's a structured process. This person, we'll call this person the general manager. The general manager needs to get contributions from a variety of people. But some of those people, the GM doesn't want to give access to the document. They just want contributions, but they don't want to give that person access. There might be sensitive information, salary or some other information in there. The other challenge is that this GM is receiving contributions from a lot of different people. Now, how would we do this in the old world? In the old world, I would send out, 10 emails. I would ask people to go get me content. And then because I didn't want to give them access to the document, they would do their work, and then they'd email me back. And then I've got all these different versions. And by the way, it's multiple times that we talk back and forth in email. They send me a version. I ask them to correct it. They send it back. Okay? And then what happens is I end up copy-paste. I end up merging the content manually. Okay? So that's sort of the old world way. What I'm going to show you is the new world way, where we're going to put two actors in play: the GM, who's authoring the document, and somebody on the finance team. The finance team person needs to give me content for this quarterly report. So that's the scenario, and we're going to make this a heck of a lot simpler. I have here a site for Contoso, which is our intranet. It's going to take it just a second to wind up here because I just booted it all right before the session. So we have an intranet site that contains, I bet you we've got this. I'm running beta 2 bits. And so sometimes it gives me that. There we go. So what we've got is a website. And on this website for our intranet, we're storing, you can see here, I've got division reports. I've also got some other lists, contact list, order list, and a customer list. All of these lists are important to me because they're going to be containing the information that this person is going to use as part of the solution. Just give it a second. Here we go. So it'll wind up pretty quickly now. Okay, so let's kick off our report. Remember, our GM needs to create a new report. So we're going to go to the documents. We're going to go here and we're going to say new document. This is my quarterly report. When I press this button, it's going to kick off Word, and Word is going to start up. And this is based on a simple template. There's no code involved here so far. This is just going to kick open a Word template. The Word template will have some pre-baked content, some things I already put in there to sort of jumpstart the authoring process. And then we're going to get down to, I need that contribution from the finance team. That's basically the next step that I need to execute. All right, this is an old one here we don't need. The first thing that you see here, let's go ahead and hide that so we can see the top here. The first thing that you'll notice is that it's showing me some metadata fields that SharePoint needs. I could fill these out manually, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to let the system do that work for me. That's the beauty of what we're going to see here. So when I scroll through this document, you can see that I've got a variety of things that the GM needs to fill out here. You can see there's plenty of content all through here. We need our contribution from the finance team, and we're just going to put it right here. This is where I need our regional sales data. So the finance team, they keep track of sales data. I want to include that in my document. I could, again, email and do all of that work manually, but I'm not going to. What I'm going to do is install a quick part. So I'm going to go here, and I'm going to install this quick part. Again, no code involved here. Quick parts are something we introduced in Office 2007. It's something that we have, again, in Office 2010. So I need regional sales data. And I need this from the finance team. I'm going to put a due date here of 05/26. If I had built this for a non-U.S. audience, I would make it 26/5. It's fine. And need regional sales data. This is a placeholder for the finance team's contribution. That's all it is. All we're doing here is putting in a placeholder. So now I'm going to save the document up to SharePoint. You can see I do this demo a lot. Run through it, make sure it works. We're up to O now. Here we are, O. I don't know how things, the whole world will come to an end when I get to the end of the alphabet. Okay, so we're going to save the document. Now, what it's going to do is it's actually kicking off a workflow. So a SharePoint workflow has started. The user, again, the GM doesn't know any of this. They don't have to worry about that. All the GM knows is he or she needs this contribution from the finance team. So it's kicked off a SharePoint workflow, and we're going to look at how that works in just a second. Before we do that, though, think about this. What if this GM needed contributions from 10 or 15 or 20 people? So I've already put some of those in the document to make things a little faster in my demo. And if I scroll down here, you'll see, notice I have other ones that are in the document. So these are other placeholders for content. Each one of those represents content that I need from the other contributors, but how would I manage finding out what the status is of all of those placeholders and the workflows that are behind those? That brings us to the Microsoft Backstage view. And that's what I referenced earlier in my slides. I talked about the Backstage view. This is what the Backstage view looks like. The Backstage view, for those of you who maybe haven't yet installed Office 2010, the Backstage view gives you a view of the things that you can do to your document or information about your document. So in outside of the Backstage view, when you're just looking at the ribbon, those are for things that you can do during the authoring experience. Bold, italics, add a table, change the formatting, add a comment, these kinds of things. The Backstage view is not really about those things. It's about, I want to get this document, I want to share it in email. I want to save it to SkyDrive. By the way, saving documents to SkyDrive is my single favorite feature in Office 2010. I love saving my documents up to Windows SkyDrive. That integration is, I use it constantly. So those things. Also getting the information about my document, printing my document. In fact, print preview is right here. So when I want to see what my print preview looks like, I just click on here, and I can see my print preview with all my print options. So this saves people the work of kind of finding their way through a bunch of dialog boxes. Now that's for the end user, but we're developers, so why are you telling me all this about Backstage view? That's because, think back to my scenario where I wanted to know the status of all of those little placeholders. If I go here to work items, you can see I now see the status for my different work items that are in this document. If you look to the right over here, let me make it bigger so you can see. Sorry. Let me just expand that. If you look to the right over here, you can see that's our new one we just created. You also see that my three categories, financial, graphics, and other, have red. Anyone want to guess why they're red? Go ahead and shout it out if you think you got a good answer. Yeah, they're overdue. Very good. So we have some items that are past due. If you look, financial, items past due, graphics, past due, other, past due. I actually have in my solution here the ability to cue the user as to, oh my gosh, these are red, I should do something. If they're yellow, that means they're coming due. And so, for example, if they're due within the next 7 days, I turn them yellow. If they're not due and everything's great, we've got lots of time, then they look like this. So this is all custom programming using a Word add-in that I developed in Visual Studio. And so if I say I want to see the top three financial items, if I click on that, it'll show. And again, here are the red ones because these are overdue. And you can see our new one here, which is not overdue. And the same thing is true if I look at my graphics or if I look at, you know, some random one right here. So this is the Backstage view, and you can customize that. Think about your business or the customers that you serve and think about the kind of things that you could do for them. Okay. So now, by the way, this is where you also have, like, your options, you know, all the different Word options. And it's also where you'll find, like, the help and things like that. All right. Now, remember that a workflow got kicked off, and we want to now go look at what happened there. So when the workflow was initiated, it created a task for my finance team. So when I go to the tasks folder here, you'll see at the very bottom that the finance team, which is poor Brian G, here's his item. He's been given a task. And if you look, we need regional sales data. It was initiated today, and so on. Now, Brian does not have access to the Word document, but he needs to contribute content to the Word document. Here's how he's going to do this. Now, Brian is smart. He worked hard 2 weeks ago. He worked like a slave because he knew that the regional sales data was going to be needed. So what he's done is he's prepared it ahead of time in another document. He's already got the regional sales data ready to go. So what he's going to do is he's simply going to attach the regional sales data document to this task. So we're going to go here. And you can see he's got his own document right down here called regional sales data. He's going to attach it, say okay. That's all he's going to do. Then he's just going to mark his task 100% complete. He's done. Great. Now he's going to save his task. That's Brian's, our finance team. That's his total contribution. Let's go back to our GM. Now our GM, he doesn't know that any of that has happened. He's not aware of that. He's just continuing to author here inside of Word just the way he normally would. And now what he's going to do is he's going to save the document up to the SharePoint server. So he's going to click Save. Now watch carefully. If you notice what happened, he saved the document and the chart appeared inside the document automatically. He didn't have to go look for it. He didn't have to go talk to the finance team. He put in a placeholder, made some changes to the document, hit save, and bam, his chart showed up. That's called time saving, okay? That's saving people time. Now imagine he has that for 10 people or 15 people. And as he continues to work in the document, these other contributions will appear. Huge time savings. In addition to the backstage view, which helps him look across his collaboration and understand what's happening. Now, what's the recipe? How did this get built? Okay, let me tell you quickly how this is constructed. I already told you, first of all, the backstage view that was done using a Word add-in and so on. Second thing is we have a SharePoint workflow that's running behind the scenes. When the document gets saved, I have an event receiver. That event receiver recognizes that a document's been saved, and it goes into the document. When the event receiver fires, it actually gives you a pointer to the document. That's just what SharePoint does automatically. You grab in that event, in that save event, you're going to grab the pointer to the document. You can open the document on the server. You don't need Word running on the server or anything. This is using OpenXML. Because this is saved in the OpenXML file format, I can open the document on the server in a very, it's super performant, very good performance. And then I can look for that placeholder. That placeholder, I extract the team, finance team, what they need, and so on, and then the workflow creates a task for the user. Then the workflow shuts down for a minute. It goes into sort of a dormant state and waits. Again, my user continues to author. Then when the finance team adds their document and says that they're done and they hit save to their task, the workflow wakes back up and then grabs that chart right there, grabs the chart out of the other document using OpenXML on the server and sticks it into our original document here, again, using OpenXML. So OpenXML is really what's fueling all of this. I'm not using the Word API or anything like that. I'm using just straight, using OpenXML. So these are the kinds of things that are possible. Okay. What I'm going to do now is show you a couple of other things that are in a related way. First thing I want to do is I want to show you how we have data sitting in a database. So here's our database running. This is SQL Server, obviously, but this could be Oracle. This could be even not a database at all. The data that we're going to extract here could come from an XML file. It could come from a WCF service. It could come from SQL Azure. It could come from a variety of places. We don't care. It's data. Okay? And you can see here, what I did was I queried our contact table. You can see we've got some contact information, and I could do the same thing to get a list of our customers and also a list of our orders. Great. Now, if my user needs access to the data points, do they want to, you know, go to some special tool to go get this data? No. The better thing to do would be to surface the data inside of SharePoint. And that's exactly what I've done here. So if I go here to contact list, what I've done is I've wired up SharePoint to the backend database system. So you can see I've got all my contacts. These are the same contacts that were in the database. If I go to orders, you'll see all of my orders appear. If I go to the customer list, you'll see that the same list of customers that we saw back in the database. How did this happen? How is this possible? This is possible because we're using a technology that we introduced a smaller version of it in Office and SharePoint 2007, SharePoint 2007, called the Business Data Catalog. The Business Data Catalog is a technology in SharePoint 2007 that allows you to wire up SharePoint to an external data source, and then the data appear inside of SharePoint as a list. Okay? The challenge with that was, one, we didn't have really any tooling around it to speak of, and secondly, it was read-only. You could pull the data in, but you couldn't change the data. In this release of Office and SharePoint 2010, we've made a couple of big improvements. One, we've made the data read-write. So now we're pulling the data in, and I actually can go to these items. I think it's over here. There it is. And I can edit the item. I could edit the item, make changes, and hit save. It'll write it back to the database for me. So surfacing it, remember what I talked about in that original slide, a consistent experience across PC, phone, and browser. You can see I've got the browser experience nailed. We're bringing in external data. It appears as the user doesn't know this is even coming from an external database. They just see it as a SharePoint list. Hallelujah. Okay? But let's put our thinking hats on for just a minute. A lot of users like to work with contact information in which application? Which Office application is really good for working with contacts? Any guesses? Outlook, right? That's a great place to work with that kind of information. People love, they're familiar with Office. They like the Office experience. We could always improve it, and we make it better each time, each release. But the fact of the matter is that users love the experience in Office. They love it. And so what I want to do is surface these same data points inside of Outlook. So what I'm going to do is go to Outlook. This you can see is just regular Outlook. And what I'm showing you is a no-code solution. Haven't written a single line of code. What I'm using are some configuration files in XML to make this happen. What I've done is I've connected Outlook to the list in SharePoint. Here it is. You can see these are the same contacts that appeared on the website, but that also appeared in the database. They're all the same. So here they are in Outlook. I see the contacts. If I open up this one, you can see got all the same contact information. I could make changes to it and hit save, and it will write them back to the database. How cool is that? Now, let's take things a step further. That's cool, but that's great because it allows the user to work with external data in a very familiar application interface. Cool. But what would be even better, is if I could make the user more productive by giving them more information. So here's where a little custom code solution comes in. What I want to do is give the user the ability, when they're looking at a contact, I also want to give them the ability to see recent order information that's coming from either that database, or it could be another database, could be a service, we don't care. So what I'm going to do, if you look on my insert menu here, on the insert menu, I've added a custom thing right here. It's not in the insert menu, sorry. That's my other demo. I've got here a tab for custom Contoso customer solution. When I click on related orders, it's actually going to open up a little task pane. And you can see now I've got my orders right here. And so when I click on these, I've got an event that fires. And you can see I'm showing different order information as I scroll through. What I've done is I've made the user, again, more productive. They don't have to go hunt down information. I'm serving it up right where they work. One caution I want to give you, because I've been doing this a long time, and I see people sort of going down, it's kind of the wrong road sometimes. If you'll notice, the experiences that I'm providing in Word or here in Outlook have a close connection between my customization and what people do inside the application. One of the things that I sometimes see customers or developers mostly trying to do is bolt on to, for example, Outlook is the most common example. They'll try to bolt on to Outlook a dashboard or something like that that has nothing to do with Outlook. Outlook happens to be an application that's open on people's desktops kind of all day long. And they say, it'd be great if we just put a dashboard inside of Outlook because, like, you know, Outlook's open. And so, yeah, okay. I really discourage, and we are actively, you know, discouraging this kind of thing only because it doesn't have any connection to the Office experience. You can see that what I'm providing here has a connection. We're looking at customer information. We're looking at order information related to that customer. Bolting in a dashboard inside of Outlook, it might be convenient because the user has Outlook open, but they have their browser open too. Put that in a browser. Don't host the browser window inside of Outlook. So that's one of the things that, you know, really put your thinking hat on and make sure that you're doing things that relate to what the user actually does in the application day in and day out. Okay, so that's how things work in Outlook. Now, what I want to do is take things a step further. And this one here, I had a little trouble. We'll see if I can get this one to work. I've got a beta 2 bug that makes this one a little bit odd. Here's the situation. It's okay, because if this one gives me an error, I've got another demo that does the same thing. That doesn't give me an error. So, but I like it here, because it's really cool if I can make it work right here. Here's the situation. During the creation of this quarterly report, I also want to include customer information, maybe a customer that did really big business with us in the last, you know, three months. They spent tons of money on our company, and I'd love to include that information in my solution, in my document. So what I'm going to do is I have what's called a content control. These are things that we introduced in Office 2007, and we've continued them forward in Office 2010. And when I click on this button, this is where I ended up with an error last time. Hoping I don't get that. Yeah, that's okay. So I can show you basically the same demo in PowerPoint. So let me give you an example. We'll delete this slide. So basically the same idea. I want to include customer information in a slide. That other example in Word, here I want to include it inside of PowerPoint. So when I go to PowerPoint, what I'm going to do is I want to include which customer it is, how much money they spent with us, those kinds of details. Again, I could go to an external system, even to a website, and get the information and then copy-paste it into PowerPoint. What I'm going to show you, though, is much slicker, because what I'm going to do is click on this, insert customer slide. The customer list you see here actually comes from our SQL Server database. This is what we have wired up to SharePoint, and now we've wired it up to PowerPoint. When I click OK, it's actually going to put every piece of data you see here, all of these data points come from a database. And what I've done is I've used that business connectivity services technology to wire up PowerPoint to the back-end database system. And then I wrote about probably 30 lines of code to do the formatting of this table and things like that. So pretty simple. Again, saving the user a lot of work. They don't have to go look for things, and it all just, you know, it's right here. Okay. So that's the first set of demos I wanted to show you that give you an idea of sort of the range of solutions. You can see that we're using a lot of back-end database systems, SharePoint integration, all the things I talked about in that first slide. We're doing a lot of them right here. Now what I'm going to do is take you to my other machine and show you some more demos with OpenXML and some of the investments we made there in our tools. You're going to really like, by the way, some of the tools we created with OpenXML, so stay tuned, because that one was a pretty big hit in Amsterdam. Okay. So we're going to go back here. What I'm going to do is we'll set the slide. We're done with the slides anyway. First thing I want to do is I want to show you connecting up to Windows Azure, SQL Azure, with Excel. If you haven't already kind of gotten into Windows and SQL Azure, I strongly recommend you get into this technology. from a career perspective, if you are a big fan of what Microsoft does and you're committed to what we're doing, read the tea leaves. We are investing a lot in our cloud strategy and in our cloud technologies, and so you're going to want to get involved in those. What I've done is I've created a database, a SQL Server database, and I've moved it up to the cloud, so it's actually running in the cloud. By the way, all the steps I went through to create the Windows Azure service, to create the Windows the SQL Azure database, how to move it up to the cloud, I have a complete step-by-step with screenshots already up on my blog. I've got my blog listed at the end, or if you just search for my name on any search engine, if you just go to Bing, say John Durant Microsoft, you'll find my blog right away. And I already have, I posted it just a couple of days ago. All of the steps to get SQL Azure up and running and so on, all the steps are there. So that will save you some time. Now, let's go ahead. What we want to do is we want to integrate some data from that, from our SQL Azure. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to our data connection wizard. And I could actually just choose SQL Server, but I'm going to take you into the full wizard just so you can see sort of how that works. So here we have, we're going to use the OLEDB provider for SQL Server. We're going to go next, and I have my server name. This is my SQL Azure server name right here. Then I'm going to grab the database name, or I'll grab my username next. Please don't copy my information. It doesn't matter if you do, but don't. Did I not copy it? Is it? It's not letting me copy paste. All right, we're going to type it. I don't know. Hang on. I gotta type it manually. It's not letting me copy paste for some unknown reason. All right. So we'll go back to get external data. We're going to choose our data connection. Oops, back. I'm going to take you through the full wizard. Right here. We're going to grab our server name again. We're going to type our username. And then I'm going to put in my password. Typed it. And then we're going to type in the name of our database that we're going to be going to right here. And we're going to test our connection. Test connection succeeded. So we are connecting up to SQL Azure. Now it's this is from SQL Azure. So now it's saying, what do you want to do? So I want to get my current product list or order details extended, order subtotals. We'll say category sales for 1997. It's going to say, do you want to put this, you can save the connection itself. We'll save this into a file, and then we'll say okay. Then we're going to put it in here. I mistyped the password. Boom. So that's from SQL Azure. That's a database running in the cloud, surfacing data inside of Excel. I didn't have to write any code. Why am I showing this to developers? Because I'm trying to save you time. Don't reinvent the wheel. We've already done this. One of the common questions I'm asked is this possible with Excel 2007? Not without a fair amount of extra work. So technically, yes, but do I recommend it? You know, look, Office 2010 makes this super easy. To my user, this is entirely transparent. They don't even know that they're connecting up to SQL Azure, right? Once they get the connection set up and things like that, they can continue to just, it's just the database connection. And so that's one of the neat things that we've introduced. Okay, so with that, I'm going to take you into a couple of other demos. By the way, this is my SQL database up on the cloud right here. I'm in Visual Studio. And I can see my tables, I can see my views, my stored procedures, the works, right here. So that this is all running up on the cloud. And again, if you want to know how to do it, don't worry. I already put the steps for you up on the internet so that you can do it. Okay, what I want to do is I want to show you the power. I'm gonna tie all this back together. So go with me on a little journey, okay? I'm gonna show you some different pieces, and then I'm gonna bring it all back together. First thing I want to do is I want to show you how powerful XML, using XML, open XML in Office really is. So the first thing I want to do is to show you a scenario that from sort of the old school way of developing an Office application. So in this application, what I want to do is I want to connect up to a database, and then I want to programmatically produce Word documents. That simple. I'm going to connect up to AdventureWorks database. I'm going to pull down data, and then I'm going to produce a document with tables and everything that has data from. So what's great is this is going to save my user time. So we're going to kick this off. Here it is. It's starting up Word. You can see it's adding rows to the table. That's document one. Document two. Here we go. So it's adding rows to the table. Document three. Okay. Is this a terrible experience? Heck no. This saves my user time. Okay. So what's great about this is it's better than authoring it all by hand. And this is not an uncommon scenario. We have lots of customers that would do these kinds of things. When I was doing Office development as a consultant, I created those. But you can see I let it run for about, you know, 2-3 minutes here, and it'd give me probably 10 documents. Okay? That's faster than I could type on my own. But there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to produce that. So now what I want to do is turn my attention a little bit to think about that experience. I'm going to show you a similar experience, and this time it happens to be PowerPoint. But don't worry, it's basically the same idea. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to produce a document. Just like Word, I'm just going to produce a document programmatically, and I'm going to add a bunch of content to it. All right. Now, what I'm going to do, though, is I'm not going to use the Office Object Models. That solution we just looked at uses the Word API, which has some performance. It's really good for discrete and small tasks, but it's not good for big bulk operations. And that's what OpenXML is designed to do, is give you the ability to do these kind of data-rich and even the formatting and so on, do it all programmatically, but do it in a very, very fast performance way. So what I've got here is a PowerPoint presentation project that's going to connect up to AdventureWorks, just like Word did. It's going to pull down records from AdventureWorks, just like we did with Word. And then what it's going to do is it's going to create a slide, a new slide, the equivalent of a document, if you will. It's going to create a new slide for each record it finds in the database. The idea here, imagine a scenario where I have to produce a slide deck that has a bunch of customer information. And you know, it has sales results, you know, quarterly sales results. It's got, you know, all kinds of different metrics and things. And I want to produce that all using just very quickly. So that's the idea behind this solution. The way I've designed it is like this. So this is called PowerPoint Mail Merge. And what I've done is I've created a template first. So if we go in here, I've created this template. Let's open up the template for a second. This is what the template looks like. So we've got our title slide, and then I have a template slide. This template slide is a slide that we're going to duplicate. We're going to clone this slide over and over and over. Only instead of having full name and email address, I'm actually going to have a separate slide. I'm going to clone it and put in our specific employee or customer information in each of these fields that you see listed right here. Here, let me shrink that down so it's a little more visible. Okay? So we're going to clone this slide and pump data into it, clone the slide again, pump data into it, clone the slide, and so on, for however many records we have in the database. So that's the principle. Let's look at the code that's going to do the work for us. So everything happens right here. I'll explain all of the code for you, so don't worry. There's actually very few lines of code needed to get most of it running. There are other lines of code I added to just make it a little more polished, but they aren't necessary. What I've done, first of all, is I created a connection to AdventureWorks. So if I look here, this is using Link to SQL. Hopefully you're investing some time in learning Link to SQL. So this is just Link to SQL. All I did was I connected up to, in this case, my local database right here. I grabbed some tables, I dragged them onto the surface, and that's what you see here. What's nice about using Link to SQL, a couple of things. One, when I did this, it created a strongly typed class for my data. So if I want to use get sales territory or contact or salesperson, it's very easy to do. It's strongly typed inside my project. I don't have to write these long strings to search through the hierarchy. It's just strongly typed and ready to go. So I have that. So that's my connection. Now, I'm going to walk you through the code, and then we'll run it, and we'll see just how fast this really is. So the first thing we do is we're going to take that template slide, and we're going to copy it into output.pptx. This last parameter simply says if output.pptx is there, please overwrite it. Fine. Then what it's going to do is it's going to open up a presentation. I'm using the OpenXML APIs in the OpenXML SDK. We have released version 2.0 of the SDK. I recommend you install it. If you go to my blog, I made an announcement about it, or you can just go to Bing and just type OpenXML SDK 2.0. It'll take you, the first link is to the download details, and you can download it. What I'm doing is I'm getting access to my main presentation. Every file in the OpenXML file formats has a main presentation piece. You don't have to worry about the schema and how all of that's constructed. What you need to worry about is how you're going to work with the pieces of it. So we're going to get the presentation. Then I'm going to get that template slide. I'll get a reference to that template slide. Then I'm going to clone the slide. I'm going to take my connection to the database, put data into that cloned slide, and then clone the template slide again, database, clone the template slide, database, and so on. That's all this code does. So here's my main presentation. Then we're going to get the main presentation part. Then this code right here, let me scoot this over. Well, actually, we'll go into full screen mode. Right here. Then what this line does is it gets a reference to the template slide. Here's our connection to our external database, which is AdventureWorks in this case. Then I have a query. What this query does, this is using Link. And it goes and gets all of the salespeople in my organization. It gets the employee information, what sales territory they're on, their contact information, and so on. These are just simple SQL join statements so that we can relate all of these tables to each other and we can serve up the information. That's my query. I'm going to run the query, and it's going to give me back a batch of results, however many people meet my criteria. Okay? In this case, I'm getting everybody, but I could put a where statement in here, and I could restrict it down to a smaller set. It's going to get a big batch. Then I'm going to loop through that batch. You can imagine as I loop through each record in the batch, this is where that clone the slide, add the database information, clone, and then go through the loop again, add a new slide, and so on. That's all it's going to do. So the next thing here, after pulling back the query, we loop through the results. And what I've got here are just some string variables, and I'm getting each instance that came back from the query. You can see here, and I'm getting different field information, first name, last name. Here I've added a new field that's not in the database called full name, and so on. So that's what I've got here. And then I've got some math, some rounding, where I'm summarizing some things. We've got year-to-date sales, sales quota, what their bonus was, what their commission percentage is, and so on. Then you can see I clone the slide. So this is what I was talking about just a moment ago, where we're going to clone that template slide. So we're going to clone the template slide. We're going to pass, this is a custom method I added. I'm going to pass to that the main presentation part and a pointer to the template slide. Then it's going to return back the newly cloned slide. And then I'm going to insert the content from the database into that newly cloned slide. So this is another custom procedure. I'm going to pass a reference to the slide and then pass all of the custom information we just got back from the database. Let's go ahead and take a look at this method and this method in a little more detail, and then we'll run it. Okay, so cloning the slide, you can see it's pretty simple. We get a new slide, so we're going to go to our main presentation part. We're going to add a new slide part. We get a reference to that new slide right here. Then we're going to get a stream of information. In other words, we want to get out of that template slide. We want to get all the text boxes and things, so we're calling getStream. That's going to populate my new slide with the right stream of information so I can change it. Also, every slide has a layout. You guys know this. If you've ever gone into PowerPoint, you can change the layout so it has like a title with an image or a title with text and so on. So we attach to the slide its layout using the slide layout part. And again, all of these things come out of the OpenXML SDK. So they're all there. I'm going to show you the tool that will help make it easier for you to jumpstart that process. And then I've got a couple of things I won't get into here, but they have to do with each slide has a unique identifier. It also has a reference ID or a relationship ID so that the presentation knows how to include it. And so those kinds of things. So I've added those. And then finally, I'm just going to append the new slide ID for that new slide to the presentation so that my presentation knows to include it. And we return the slide back here. So that's the cloning piece. So we clone slide. Once we get the cloned slide, we pass it back to this new procedure right here called insert content. If I scroll down, you can see insert content. This one's actually super simple because what it does is it takes the new slide and it swaps out the existing text boxes, if you will, with the content. So instead of saying full name, it'll now say the actual full name of the person. And so that's all this one does. Okay? After we've cloned the slide, added it to the presentation, and populated it with database information, we just have a couple of small things to do down here. One is we want to delete from our presentation the template slide. We want to leave it in the template, but we don't want it in our final presentation. We don't need it. It's a template slide. So we're going to delete that one. And so that's all these lines right here do. They get rid of that. And then we remove the slide ID from the list of slides so that PowerPoint knows to not think about that slide anymore. Okay? So that's the sum total of my code. And now I'm going to run it. That's it. That was fast. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go look at our output file. You can see that we've got the file right here. And now if you look, here are slides for each person in the database. Okay? How long would that have taken a person to do manually? Right? And you guys saw every line of code that makes it happen. So a much better experience. Now here's where an extra piece of magic comes into this presentation. Because if you guys, I'm sure you guys have done a lot of work for customers where they give you the requirements and you do the work and then you give them the application based on the requirements they gave you, and very commonly they'll come back to you and say, oh yeah, that's exactly what we asked for, but it's not what we want. Okay, this is like what happens when you're laughing, because it's true, isn't it? Oh yeah, that's exactly what we asked for. It's right here in the spec, but we don't want that. We don't want that. We want something totally new. We call this the salary continuation program because it helps us pay the bills. I've got 5 kids, so I'm very sensitive to that, and one on the way. And so I like the salary continuation program. But here in this case, I want to simplify things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this presentation down. And my user says, oh, you know what? Thanks, guys, for creating that really cool solution. But that's not how I want it to look. No big deal. They go in back into the template slide, and they can change how it looks. So they could change it to this. They could change it to that. Okay? We'll change it to this. They're going to save the template slide. We'll close that. Let's go ahead and rerun our solution. It's done. Look at the performance, by the way. It's amazing. You open it up. Here's the same. Now here's the newly generated slide deck, fully formatted the way they wanted it. Right? Now that is saving us, again, a lot of effort because the user can continue to iterate in PowerPoint however they want. My code is unchanged. It could just continues to operate. That's one of the great strengths of OpenXML. What I want to do now is show you how you can get started doing some of these things with OpenXML. I'm going to show you what we have is the OpenXML SDK. And actually, I have to open up a tool. Hang on. I need to open a tool real fast so I can show you that. This is our productivity tool. So this productivity tool is designed to help you get into OpenXML programming the demos I showed you earlier with the quarterly report, all that, that uses OpenXML. Everything I'm showing you right here, that uses OpenXML. First thing is, you want to know, like, where's the documentation? If you click on documentation, you can actually go through here, and this is all of the standards-based documentation. So you can click on specific things. So for example, I can look at this, and I can scroll through here. Now that's one way of doing it. An even better way, though, is I can search. So I can say paragraph. I want to know how to do paragraphs or slides. So if I type paragraph, here's the word paragraph happens to be right here. If I click that, it'll give me all the information that I need. If I click on a method, so for example, some method here, clone child node, and then it'll show me the information about that. Okay? So from a documentation standpoint, very strong. But do you really want to go and learn all of these schemas the hard way? I'm assuming everybody is no longer in college or something like that. And that's because we don't want to do homework. Okay, that's why we aren't in school now. Because we realized we'd rather work and not do homework. Okay, so what we've done is we've made this a heck of a lot easier. And I'm going to show you how that works. By the way, when we first introduced OpenXML, we didn't have any of these tools. And so I actually had to invest the time to learn the schema by hand, you know, just by the studying it, which was a challenge, I'll just tell you right now. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to show you a couple of things. One is we're going to go and we're going to use what's called the Document Explorer. And so we'll go into the productivity tool. Let's look at an example document. So this is an example document we're going to open up inside of here. And now I can actually navigate the document. So this is nice. I can navigate the document and see how it's constructed and what it contains right here inside the tool. Okay, I can just keep drilling down. So the Document Explorer is useful. But what I want to do is I'd like to produce a document but not have to write all the code myself to produce the document. In other words, I'd like to use OpenXML to create a document, but I don't want to have to write all that code by hand. Here's the good news for you. You don't have to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this file. I'm going to open up a different file, and I'll show you where this file is just for a second so you can see. If I go back here. I have a file here, in this case, text2. We'll just open it up so you can see what it looks like. Very simple, okay? It's a very... Okay, so it's a very simple file. I have two things in here. Let's start simple, and then we'll go a little more complex. So what I want to do is know what code do I have to write to produce this document as you see it right here? Or a document that's even a little more complex. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually open this document up inside of here. So we'll go back here. Open up text2. And if I click on this, reflect code, this produces for me all of the code. This code right here is all the code I need to produce that very document. Didn't have to write any of it. I can go right click on here, say copy all code, paste that into Visual Studio, hit F5, and it will produce that document down to the last pixel. Okay? So let's take something a little more complex, something that's got a little more formatting to it. So what we'll do is we'll go back here. I've got this one called Salesperson, and this is what it looks like. So a little more sophisticated. We're going to open up that document now. And reflect the code. And you'll see that it'll produce, this is all the code that's needed to produce that document. I can then put that into Visual Studio and run it. So what we'll do now is we'll open up a project where I've done this. So we'll go to DB Merge, which is right here. And what I've done is I've done that very thing. I've copy and pasted that code into this file. And so here it is, right here, generate class. Oops, sorry about that. So this is all of that same code right here. And when I run this, it's going to produce my main document. So if I go to program, what I'll do is I'll comment out these two. I've got two examples in here. One where I just copied and pasted the code. So we'll run it. It's done. You got to love the performance. Now we'll go in here and we'll look at the output file. This is the file that was produced. You can see the time here. And my time, my time is 9 hours behind here, which makes for a time. There it is. That's the document that the code produced. Saves you some time. Okay? Now, if you're like most developers, you'll take that code and you'll start messing around with it. You'll start tweaking the code and doing various things to it because you want it to look different and so on. And so all I've done here, the next example I'm going to show you, I just changed the formatting kind of arbitrarily just to show you how I could do that. So what I've got is back here, I'm going to comment out these two lines now and uncomment these two lines. And what I've done is I've actually simplified things, but I've simplified the view. But in this case, I'm also doing something interesting. If you look to the right, you'll see AdventureWorks again. I did the same exact thing. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow some of that code that I got, that I received from the productivity tool. I'm going to connect up to AdventureWorks. Yay. And then what I'm going to do is produce a Word document with data from the database formatted in some different way. And that's all it's going to do. So I'm going to run this. It's connected up to the database. Boom, it produced my document. I'll go back here. Here's output. You can see this is a different time, so it is a different document. I open it up, and here it is. These are data points from the SQL Server database from AdventureWorks. You guys saw how I connected up to SQL Azure about 15 minutes ago. I could connect up to SQL Azure, do the exact same operation. You can tell how much faster the performance is, why you want to invest your time. All of the formatting and everything you see that I've done here, I did using OpenXML. The other nice thing about this productivity tool, there are a number of things, is I reflected over the entire thing. What if I didn't want to reflect over everything? I just wanted to reflect over, you know, one specific area. So I can actually drill down into here, and it has multiple paragraphs. And so what I can do is I can go down to one specific location and say reflect the code just for that one area. And so it will actually reflect. I can then, again, copy all of this code, paste it in there. It'll produce just that one piece. So the reflection piece becomes very handy. Another thing that you can do in here, which makes it very convenient, is you can validate your files. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to compare two. There are two things I'm going to do. One is I can compare files, and two is I can validate files if I see that there's an error. In other words, when I'm writing code that's programmatically producing these documents, I may make a mistake. Word or PowerPoint or Excel is not going to tell me what the mistake is. When I try to open the file, it'll just say, there's an error in this file. Developer. It doesn't even say developer. It just says there's an error in this file. And good luck, go get it. Okay? How do you find the error? And so I'm going to show you that secondly. First of all, I'm going to show you, what if I wanted to compare two files? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up one file. So we'll go back here. We'll go into here. And we'll grab this file right here, example. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab this one, which has an error in it. We're going to open up the two files, and now it'll show me the diff between the two files. But again, you say, well, look, file diff, you know, what's the big deal? The big deal is this isn't just showing me textual differences. This is also has awareness of what these mean semantically. So it knows that there's an error here. In fact, if I scroll over, you'll see that this one has, in this case, it's not telling me there's an error. It's just telling me that there's a difference. And so if I look at the two files, you can see, sure enough, this one has this value, and this one has this value. Okay, so that's the file comparison. What I'm going to do now is open a file, in this case invalid, and I'm going to validate it against OpenXML. And it's going to report any errors that it finds. So here's an error that it found. It says that the string 0000 is not allowed. So it's validating against the schema, and I didn't need to, you know, study the schema in the late hours of the morning. Or the night to learn that. So these are some of the examples that we have, some of the tools that we've provided now to sort of jumpstart you into programming with OpenXML. So, yes. Can the user somehow see what data they can put into the document? Okay, so what you're asking, I think you're asking, can I give the user the choice of which data pieces they want to enter? Can they customize it? Of course. That's standard database, you know, programming in a UI. It's easy, right? You just have to create a UI, let them select what they want, and then based on that, you'll respond to their selection event, and then you'll go and pump the data in. So yes, it's just an extra step. I'm hard coding it to make it simple for my demo, but in the real world, yes, I would give them some choice dialogue. They can configure. I can store that information either on the web or store it in my file itself. So yes, we have those options. Okay, I've got 59 seconds left. Actually, I have about 3 more demos I'd love to show you, but that's not going to happen. So with the few moments I have left, you can see in all the demos I've been showing you today that the service and services connectivity, much richer, data-oriented development. You can see that in spades with business connectivity service and especially with the OpenXML SDK. You can see we've improved the client's extensibility. We've got the backstage view. We've got all these other pieces in Ribbon and forms development inside of Outlook, and then a better application design environment. Everybody in this room should join the Office Developer Guild on Facebook. So if you go to facebook.com/Office Developer Guild, this is my main social media mechanism, as well as my Twitter account, which is my name, Twitter, John R. Durant. And I'm making announcements, and I'm also releasing little videos and things that sort of give an inside view of some of the things we do at Microsoft. I'm chatting with people in the hallway that help work on the product and asking them questions. So there are things up there like that. You should join that. Any customers that you work with, they should join that. Your coworkers, they should join this. So just go there. I will accept your invitation. Also, you can go to my blog for more information. So with that, have a good evening. Bony fingers close around me.